Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Generali 2019 preliminary results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gian Maria Mossa, CEO and General Manager of Banca Generali. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our full year results conference call. Let's start saying that 2019 results are, for several aspects, the best ever. On commercial side, we reached 69 billion euro of assets, 5.1 billion euro of net inflows, and 4.7 billion of assets under advisory. On the financial side, net profit at 272 million, and the core net profit at 150 million euro. Thanks to these results, and thanks to a very solid capital position, we're going to propose a dividend at 1.85 euro per share. Last but not least, all the initiatives we announced during our Investor Day in London are well on track, and they will contribute positively also to the results of this year. Starting from page four, there is a focus on the dividend proposal to the AGM. It is a two-step dividend at the highest end of the guidance. In particular, the proposed DPS is 1.85 euros, as we already said, of which 1.55 to be paid on May 2020, and 0.3 to be paid on January 2021. The overall payout ratio on total earnings is at 79%, and this two-step dividend payment has been introduced in order to smooth the dividend trend over time. Next page number five, you see our usual short representation of the P&L. Total banking income up 28.6%, operating profit up 41.1%. Also, once included, investment and cost for accelerating the strategies for M&A and some one-off. If you consider then the contribution below operating line was positive, let's say positive, thanks to lower adjustment and lower tax rate. Net profit 272, the best ever for the bank. Page six, there is a representation of net profit trend, just to give a medium-term view. If you look at the graph bar, the gray part is about the variable net profit, and you can see the volatility over 10 years, while the red one is about the recurring net profit. You see that steady improved over the times with impressive growth of 181% over the last five years. The driver of this growth is basically the asset expansion. Overall assets in five years increased 89%, and this is connected to two main factors. The first one, the increase of the FA network, up 24%. Second, most important, the increase of the portfolio average of our financial advisors, more than 50% in five years. From page eight, we go through the single lines of the P&L, starting from the net financial income. Total net financial income increased 5%, despite the reduction of trading income and the negative impact of IFRS 16 implementation. In particular, if we focus on net interest income, in 2019 was at 74 million euro, like-for-like basis 77.5 And if we focus on the last quarter, the fourth quarter was in line with the third one. For net interest income, we confirm for this year a one-digit growth, even in a context of lower yield compared to the last year. On page nine, you can see the contributors of this increase of net interest income. First of all, asset expansion, 11.8 billion euro. You see loans to bank, a reduction from 1.5 to 1.2, a slight increase in the loans to client from 1.8 to 1.9, and a significant increase in the financial assets, up to 7.8 billion euro. The second reason of this increase in net interest income comes from higher total yield, and on the bottom of the page left, you can see a breakdown of the three main contributors, in particular a better management of liquidity, so loans to bank, the yield is at minus 0.12, the yield on financial assets increased at 0.82, and then there is a marginal reduction in the yield of loans to clients, which is linked to the launch of Lombard Solutions for retail clients at 1.13. On the right of the page, you see the loans portfolio that, as we said, is around 2 billion, and we have more than 4 billion of collateralization, so zero risk, zero credit risk in this case. And on the bottom of the page, you see the classification of the banking book. In particular, 83% is held to collect, 17 held to collect and sales. And if you look at the bond classification, total Italian govi bonds are below 70%, plus 18% in European govi bonds and 13% in corporate and financials. We continue to maintain a very conservative approach, bond maturity at 3.5, bond duration at 1.6. Moving on to management fees, total management fees closed at 646.3, up 2% from the previous year, but with a very different trend during the year. If you compare the first half with the second, the latter is up 6%, and the last quarter reached 169 million euro. Even most important, you can see the stabilization of the margin, and we are confident to see this level of margins also for this year, on like-for-like basis, so once excluded the Nextam and Valeur to compare the numbers historically. The most important news, I think, is at page 11, because banking and entry fees had an impressive acceleration, up 18.5 million euro, or 27%. And also the profitability of this revenue increased from 0.12 to 0.14. Looking at the quarterly trend, you can see a further acceleration, Q4 at 27.4 million euro. It means almost 10 million higher than the previous quarter, the previous period in 2018. So this strong acceleration is driven both by advisory, structured product, and brokerage fee. On page 11 on the right, you can see another way to present numbers, so we split the overall banking entry fees between the traditional components and the new revenue engines. So the gray bar, as you can see, is stable or declining over time, while the darker red is about the new revenue engine. So from 14.9 million euro in 2017 up to 46.4. And as I said, more to come this year. Page 12, there is a deep dive on the new revenue engine. Let's start with advanced advisory, 16.9 of gross fees, thanks to asset expansion, 4.7 billion euro asset under advisory and stable margins above 46 basis points. Structured products, gross fees at 13.9, well above the target 2021, thanks to more than 500 million euro of new issues. So it means with margins between 2 and 2.5%. Brokerage fees up to 15.6. Here you see two different trends, a reduction in institutional brokerage fees and acceleration in the retail brokerage fees. To see the acceleration in brokerage fees, there is the graph of the quarterly retail volumes, third and fourth quarter of last year, 2.3 billion euro of volumes. And if you compare these with the same period of the previous year, you see the impressive acceleration. Third quarter 2018 was 1.1 billion euro. Last, performance fees at 147.4 million. In terms of margin, it implies 0.32 on total on asset under management and 0.23 on total assets. That is slightly above the historical average. These performance fees in absolute terms are driven by asset expansion. Total assets of our Luxembourg platform increased by 2.8 billion euro, and the contribution of the new LuxIM to the overall performance fee now is above 50%. On the fee expense side, total fee expense at 391 million euro, with a payout to the network well below our threshold of 50%, and thanks to a lower cost of growth, and it's very, very strong, the existing Salesforce activity. And also the payout to third parties declined, driven basically by the renegotiation with the third-party asset manager. On the operating cost side, the increase was of 24.6 million euro, of which 16 refers to one-off, like moving offices, like implementation of IFRS 16 and acceleration of the strategy, plus M&A activities, so Valeur and Nextam. So, focusing on sales, sales personnel expense up 1.5 million, so a sound commercial activity, while core operating costs up 8.7 million euro, that it means 4.8%, so in line with our guidance. Focusing on the breakdown of the core operating costs, you can see that the G&A increased more or less 2%, 2.3%, while the acceleration was about the staff cost, 7.5%. This is linked to two main factors. The first one, we hired top talented people for the new initiatives, so very important to have well equipped for these new initiatives. And second, of course, we pay higher performance related remuneration for the top management and the middle management. Page 16, you see the cost ratios, operating cost on total assets 0.32, best practice in the market, and cost income ratio were well below 40%, so also excluding performance fee. On page 17, you see the capital position, CET1 at 14.6, total capital ratio at 16.1, also after including, first, the full application implementation of IFRS 16, almost 0.9%, first consolidation of Nextam and Valeur, and the dividend payout, the proposal for the AGM with a payout ratio of 79%. Liquidity ratio are well above the average, are continuing to increase, and the leverage is well above 4%. So, three main messages for this first part. First of all, the net interest income will continue to contribute positively at this year. Second, management fees are accelerating, and we are very confident to keep stable margins over years, of course, like for like. Third, the new revenue engines are well above expectation, and they will contribute significantly also this year. Now let's move to the commercial results, starting from total assets. Total assets at €69.1 billion, an impressive increase of €11.5 billion, thanks to very solid inflows, €5.1, as well as very strong performance, €4.2 billion. And in particular, if you look at the performance, total assets up 7.2%, with a performance of the pure managed solution at 11%, and the performance of the traditional insurance solution at 2.7. So we more than offset the negative performance on 2018, and I can say that our clients are very satisfied with these numbers. Page 20, you can see the total asset breakdown. It's impressive the acceleration of managed solutions up €6.7 billion. Traditional life policies up €1.1 billion and banking products up €3.7 billion. Overall, the managed solutions weigh 49.3% on total assets. And if you look at on the top of the page on the right, the breakdown of the managed solution, you can see that almost all components increased. So it's a well-diversified portfolio. Page 21, there is a focus on asset under advisory. First of all, now asset under advisory account for 6.8% of total assets. And you remember we gave a target between 7 and 8%. And the best practice of the market is at 17%. We are very confident, and we will review these targets probably in June. Why this such an impressive acceleration? Two main reasons. First of all, we are seeing an increasing number of active financial advisors. Now almost 60% of the financial advisor network provide these kind of services to clients. And second, an acceleration in number of contracts. It's not just about absolute numbers, but also average contract for financial advisors. Page 22, you can see a focus on our Luxembourg platform, almost 25% of total AUM. First, in the center, you see an asset by SICA. So LuxIM accounts for €10.6 billion. On the right top, you can see total assets in terms of share classes, where you can see the important acceleration of the retail fund classes from 5.5 to 7.2, and the continuing growth of the institutional fund classes. Just as a reminder, the price of institutional share classes, selection, and LuxIM are almost in line, so the switch do not provide any penalization on the P&L. On the bottom of the page, you see retail fund classes and the breakdown. So the LuxIM account for €3.6 billion, and we continue to see the runoff of the selection. Now is at 3.4. Consider that we see a slowdown in the runoff. So the LuxIM activity more than compensate the numbers of the selection, and we are very confident of the numbers of LuxIM also this year. Moving on total inflows, we said 5.1 is slightly above the numbers of 2018. On the left, you see that the mix is similar, but the trend is completely different. If you look at the graph on the right and you see the red bar, the contribution of managed assets started very slowly due to the crash of the market, so 100 million, and closed with 1 billion. And we continue to see this acceleration also in the first part of this year. Page 24. Another way to see at the inflows is by acquisition channels. 76% of net inflows comes from the existing sales force, definitely above our range of 55-60%, and is well spread among the FAs. And also the black bar is in line with the past, that is about the financial advisor leaving the company. In terms of recruitment trend, as we announced several times last year, we slew down the activity, so 86 new colleagues. You can see a recovery in the last quarter, 27 new colleagues, and I confirm that from this year we will start again with our, let's say, standard path, so around 100 financial advisors per year. So it means 10 per month with some seasonality. Page 25, there is a focus on the inflows of in January. First of all, total net inflows very strong, 438 million euro. You can see a comparison with January of the previous year. It's impressive, the acceleration of Luxim and BG Stile Libero, and you see lower interest in the traditional insurance policies. And again, also in February, we are seeing an acceleration in the Luxim and in insurance wrappers. So very confident to have also great number in February. Assets under advisory continue to perform better than expected. We are almost at 4.9 billion euro, so almost 200 million above the number at the end of 2019. And the recruitment activity started pretty well, 8 new colleagues in the year. So, in the first month, sorry. So, again, to sum up this part, three takeaways. The first one, last year we saw an impressive acceleration of total assets with a significant performance, so clients are happy. And we more than offset the negative performance of the previous year. The commercial activity is very strong and sound and is well spread among the financial advisors. This is probably the most important thing for the sustainable growth. And third, if you look at the overall mix has been changing and improving over time significantly, and we start in the right way the 2020. So the last part of the presentation is about a business update. And as you know, our 3-year business plan is based mainly on a multi-project approach. And I'm pretty sure that this year we'll see the impact of all initiatives for the first year. And we divided all the initiatives in 3 main blocks. What we call key business drivers, it means new initiatives on core business. And in particular, there are news on Luxim, ESG commercial approach, and wrapper solutions. Then there are new revenue engines that will start providing support to the P&L this year, and I include lending, private markets for retail clients, and internationalization of the bank. And last but not least, there is a cluster of the new revenue engines that started contributing significantly last year. So advanced advisory, certificates, and BG Saxo. And consider that on these 3 initiatives, we are planning a dedicated roadshow for our financial advisors to keep the focus very, very high. So now let's go through these 3+3 initiatives to give you the flavor of the number of initiatives and how we are implementing the strategy. Page 28, we start from Luxim. You remember that the Luxim is a project based on innovation of the investment solution and on the concept of diversification, and you have a representation in the pie chart. The first graph, the gray bar, represents the inflows, the quarterly inflows. And you know, we start launching the Lux IM with different waves, and in the second half of this year, there will be the fourth wave. And you can see the correlation of numbers with waves. So again, we deliver on promises. When we launch initiatives, we see an immediate impact on the numbers. There is a new initiative in the Lux IM that is about saving plans. During our investor day, we said now we will provide solution also for upper affluent clients. We worked on that topic, and on the second half of last year, we start providing these new services to clients. And if you look at the numbers of January, are pretty impressive. So €50 million of net inflows for the overall plan, and February is still accelerating. So again, this can create a good support to the inflows over the years to the Lux IM. And the last but not least, Lux IM is a pretty recent story. So we launched it, let's say, a couple of years ago, and we start working on retail last year. And if you look at the participation rate of the financial advisors, we have just at the beginning, because 50% of the FAs are with zero with an total exposure of less than 5% of total AUM. So we are confident to see an acceleration this year. Page 29, you see the sustainability approach of Banca Generali. First of all, thanks to Generali, we had the opportunity to present our new commercial approach on SDGs in Davos, because we think we are first mover on these topics. So it's not about products, it's well above and beyond products, because we allow, thanks to a proprietary platform, the clients to select their own sustainable development goals. And we optimize portfolios, and we provide reporting to emphasize the positive impact on society of the investments. If you look at on the top right of the page, you see the inflows connected to this new platform, and I have to be honest, the numbers are very impressive, and it's probably the number that impressed me more, because we had €800 million of net inflows thanks to this new proposition. So it's on top of the existing proposition. It's a different way to build investment solution driven by the personal feeling and the personal choices of clients in terms of sustainable development goals. And we've just started also collaboration with Generali, and we'll provide this approach for a dedicated unit-linked in Generali Italy. Page 30 is the third levers of core business. So we said Lux IM, very strong support from several initiatives. ESG, a new commercial approach, very supportive for inflows. And now the insurance solutions. In the last quarter of the last year, we introduced a new concept of Stile Libero, and this explained the acceleration of the last part of the year of numbers and the good start of this year. And we are ready, we've just launched a new very important initiatives. It's called Lux Protection Life. What is about is a Luxembourg solution. Generali launched a very, very efficient, in my opinion, probably best in class private insurance solution. You know that these kind of solution are probably the most wanted product in Europe. Last year, almost €23 billion of inflows, of which seven are from Italian clients. And now we are there, we are ready, we start working on this product. The first inflows are pretty impressive. We are accelerating, and I'm confident that also the Lux Protection Life will provide the support to the numbers of our insurance wrappers. So moving on, other initiatives. So new revenue engine that will start providing support to the P&L and value to clients. Page 31. First of all, lending. Last year we worked a lot. We worked a lot to build a new team. We worked a lot to create a new platform and to optimize processes and procedures. We delivered, and we can start seeing the numbers because in the last quarter, since we completed the journey, the lending activity accelerated. So almost 50% of the all activity over the last year was about the last quarter, the fourth quarter. So we are confident to reach the targets we announced during our Investor Day, and there are several initiatives ready to be launched. Page 32, a new initiative, is about private markets. As you know, we started providing this kind of solution a few years ago. We are considered best practice for professional investors with 1.5 billion euro. We decided to extend this kind of offer also to clients not professional, but only among upper affluent and private clients, and with strict control on the maximum exposure on these products. So we have threshold at 10 or 20%, depending on the kind of the clients. We are going to launch two new initiatives, two new solutions. The first one is a FIA, so an investment fund. And the second one is an ELTIF, coherent with a new regulation, European new regulation. Common characteristic, first of all, very, very well diversified, multi-asset and multi-asset manager, with an overall exposure to private debt at 70%, so in line with the risk profile of our client. Here the target is on a three-year time horizon of 1 billion, so in line with the targets we already reached with professional clients. But it's another way to provide quality and services to our clients, starting from managing reputational risk. You know, we are different. We think that, first of all, diversification. Second, the solution we propose must be in line with the risk profile of our client. And we start very slowly to see also the appetite for this solution. Page 33, there is the internationalization. You know, the internationalization project has two legs. The first one is about Italian clients with an Italian private bankers in Italy and investment solutions in Italy willing to diversify the booking center. So I manage money in Italy and I deposit this money in Switzerland. We launched this service with advisory service. It's called BG International Advisory at the end of the last year. We already closed 60 million euro of contracts. There is a great appetite, but we want to proceed very slowly. And I'm confident that we will gain momentum with these initiatives because you have to think of all the Italian clients that once in the life apply for capital shield, voluntary disclosure, and so forth. You have 150 billion euro of Italian assets abroad. Second leg is about a dedicated distribution channel in Switzerland. We acquired Valeur. You know, we completed this acquisition in October last year, so with some delay, and now we start with the commercial activity. So, to conclude, the first year of our three-year business plan closed in line or above the several targets we set in terms of asset growth, sustainable profitability, shareholders remuneration, and we are really confident to deliver also this year. So now I open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Gianluca Ferrari with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I have four questions, if I may. The first one is on the level of deposits you are keeping to the ECB. If I recall correctly, after the Q3 19, you still had 750 million euros. I was wondering if at year end this amount declined, and if so, what was the level at the end of the year? The second question is on margins and the outlook on margins, given that the runoff of the retail class of selection is slowing down. So I was, and by the way, the margins on the selection retail were pretty high in the past. So I was wondering if this is giving a bit of support to the 140 basis points you reported, and also linked to that, if you can share with us the margins on the two closed-end alternative funds you just mentioned during the speech. The third question is on the pretty relevant 11% weighted average performance to clients. It is much better than the one reported by some of your peers, and I guess this is also due to the fact that your pricing is much more sustainable than others, and by the way, with less equity exposure. So I was wondering if clients do have the perception that you are returning better results with lower costs, and if this is giving an opportunity, or still the sensitivity is pretty low on this point. Last is a clarification on the DV. Should we think about the ordinary DPS going forward? So I guess you said in the past you want to give a story of Banca Generali paying a gradually increasing DPS. So is the 1.55 or the 1.8 the new base for the 2020 DPS? Thank you.
Thank you, Gianluca. So let's start from the first one. Then I will hand over to Tommaso, but I think that the deposits in ECB are almost in line with the last year. I have in mind 600 million, but between 600 and 700 million, but Tommaso will be more precise on this topic. On margins, you are right. I said that in one of the last conference calls that 2020 will be a turning point. For two main reasons. The first one is a slowdown in the outflows of selection, and I think that we still see, at least for the first half, some outflows and then a reduction. I'm sure that next year will be much better. And second, for the reduction of the weight of the traditional insurance products on our offering, because you know the traditional life insurance policies have a lower margin for the bank. So for these two factors, I'm confident, and I think that these two initiatives support the overall margin in the management fees. Then you know that all the new revenue engines have been launched also to eventually compensate any reduction, and to be sure to maintain the guidance we announced during our investor day. But let's say that the worst is over, so I'm confident. And third, the perception of the clients on the total cost and performance. I would say that my impression is something is changing, and as usual, these changes occur thanks to media, so the press and regulators. And my impression that the focus on total expense ratio is increasing. Probably is not something about the next quarter, but for sure in the next 1 or 2 years, something will definitely change, also on the client side, driven by external factors, as I said. So I think that in the medium term, our total expense ratio will provide an extra support for our financial advisors. And also on the new alternative funds, we decided to have the margins in line with our, let's say, asset management products. Tommaso will be more precise, but let's say that it's almost in line with our LAC SIM, probably a little bit lower. And so it's in line with discretionary accounts, basically. And last but not least, to be very, very concrete, the floor, let's say, for next year will be 1.55. Of course, we have in mind different numbers, but we have to be sure to give a steady growth in absolute terms. So to me, 1.55 is in the new floor. Of course, we are working to overachieve the results as usual. Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to add anything more on?
Yes, say on liquidity, I confirm that we have the tiering with the ECB, which is around 700 million, and so also at the end of the year we had more or less the same exposure, probably a little bit more because we had some more liquidity, but that was the range at your end.
Yeah, just another thing. On the, let's say, private markets, there is a real risk on total expense ratio, and we worked a lot to stay around 2.5% as overall ongoing charge. So we position the bank much lower compared with, the main, let's call, competitors.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Elena Perini with Banca IMI. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good afternoon, and my congratulations for your results, which were very, very good indeed. I've got two questions. The first one is on your outlook on costs for the current year, if you can elaborate a bit more, considering that you will have Valeur and Nextam consolidated on a full year basis. And then the second question, which is also related to this and to the previous ones of my colleague on your margins, what kind of progressions would you expect in your net result, considering the 150 million recurrent as a basis? And I don't know if you have, I know that is difficult, but I don't know if you have any expectations on performance fees, considering also the level of January. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elena. On cost side, the second, like for like basis, we confirm our guidance, 3-5%. The overall impact of Nextam and Valeur should be around 20 million euro, but 19 million euro full year impact. And on the recurring revenues, let's say that I'm very impressed by the acceleration of the new initiatives as well as the numbers of our LAC SIM. So I'm very confident. If the markets hold on these levels, you will see very, very impressive numbers in general on asset management products and in all the initiatives. Performance fees for the first month were very strong, the performance fees, around 30 million euro, pretty impressive. And we have all the LAC SIM at or very close to the highest level. So it depends on the market. You know, we are very, very focused on the core revenues. And I think that in particular in the second half, all the initiatives will be up and running. And this is very supportive and sustainable because we are not focused on a single initiatives, but are, let's say, that we discussed about 9, but there are also others that we, for the sake of time, I didn't present. So I'm confident because I see that the commercial activity is really sound, and I see the capacity of the bank to deliver these new initiatives.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks very much for the presentation. I do have a couple of follow-ups, and I beg your pardon, actually, if you already answered to part of this question, but I missed the initial part of the presentation. On the cost, including the acquisition, does it make sense because of the new perimeter? Does it make sense a number of 235 million euro, more or less, for the next year? I was just wondering whether I'm correct, working out all the math. And I remember that you gave a top-of-the-range guidance of 260 million for 2021, including, of course, acquisition and others. So I'm just wondering whether that number still makes sense or at this point is too high. Then on the sales for this year, I wonder whether you can give us a sort of a guidance in terms of sales. On the new initiatives, I mean, there is a big chunk of revenues that is emerging in your P&L. In part, as you mentioned during the call, you already basically reached some of the targets. So I'm just wondering whether you can give us more visibility on this revenue stream for this year. And then on the dividend, sorry to be long, well done, actually, for smoothing over the payment of the dividend. That will be helpful for the shares. How shall we look at this additional part? As a one-off, as an extraordinary dividend? Because given the performance fees, you're probably going to have another very good year. So I'm just wondering whether, for the benefit of our model, we can use the 70%-80% as a number for the payout. Thank you.
Thank you, Domenico. So starting on the cost side, you are almost right on the numbers you mentioned. On the sales, I would say that the beginning of the year was very, very strong. February is going very well. The target of our business plan is 3.8-4.2 from the Italian business, the traditional Italian business. Let's say that we are well on track. It's probably too early to review the target, but let's say that I'm confident. When you see that 80% of the financial advisors provide positive inflows, they say that it's not my priority. I see very, very strong results, and the priority is on, let's say, margins and on diversification. In terms of new revenue streams, new targets, we are thinking of organizing a roadshow in June dedicated to these new initiatives. And in that occasion, we will communicate new targets for all the initiatives. And on the dividend side, let's say that the dividend policy won't change. So the payout ratio will be between 70%-80% of total earnings. We want to keep some flexibility in splitting the dividend just to be sure to stabilize and to have a solid, let's say, stable growth in absolute terms. So we change the mechanism in terms of the opportunity to have different steps just to smooth the absolute level. But let's say that the range, 70-80, won't change over time. And Tommaso, do you want to add something on cost?
On cost, let's say that I confirm that your expectation is in line with our internal forecast for next year, and that also we can confirm the evolution that we did on total cost and on core cost in our investor presentation. Let's say that this year has been one year where we had some exceptional costs, which were more linked to the new acquisition and also to the integration of those new entities in the group. And so we have been also accelerating all the initiatives because we had a very strong P&L in the year. So we decided to start to invest in the initiative that That's also the explanation of the evolution of our costs in the last year.
Sorry, can I just ask a follow-up on the dividend? Because, I mean, it's important. The decision to pay this 30 cents was related to the level of performance fees, or there are other parameters that we should take into consideration, please?
No, the level of performance fee, you are right. So we consider the variable profits as a part, as a sort of stabilizer of the absolute dividend. So when the performance fee exceeds the expectation, we try to smooth the dividend in this way.
Okay, many thanks.
The next question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Three questions left from me. The first one is on the inflow mix. You mentioned the improvements you are seeing, and they were evident in the second half of last year and even in January. I was wondering if you believe this is mostly due to the market performance, the low yields, or it's more kind of structural, and so we can expect it to continue even in tougher eventually market conditions going forward. I remember in the past, obviously, with the risk-off attitudes, a lot of clients maybe changing their asset allocation towards traditional life products. I was wondering if you believe this inflow mix will continue even in the future, and so if we can expect, if you can give us an idea what's your target in terms of inflows into managed assets for this year. And the second that is connected is the contribution you're expecting coming from recruitment, which was very low in 2019 due to the reason you mentioned. You now are looking at addition of 100 new financial advisors. So I was wondering if you expect the mix to go back to the historical average in terms of contribution of recruitment, or if you still believe the organic growth will be sound and strong even in 2020. The second one is on the Switzerland. You mentioned in the past that you wanted to have a banking license in Switzerland. I was wondering if there are news on that side. And the final one is on the Luxembourg protection life product. You mentioned in slide 30. I was wondering if you can elaborate a little bit more on that product, if you think it's a kind of a significant add-on in terms of future net inflows, and how it compares in terms of margins to the others products. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto. So inflows and mix. On one hand, you know, there is a correlation between market performance and quality of the inflows. On the other one, I think that we did a great job with Luxim and with the insurance wrappers to reduce this correlation. So I expect significant contribution from these two kind of products, even with some more volatility in the market. Of course, in case of a crash is another story, but let's say that normal volatility, I can confirm a positive mix with a contribution of the Luxim and of the insurance wrapper, at least in line with the last year. Recruitment. I have in mind a contribution of the existing sales force at 60%, so a little bit higher than what we communicated during our investor day, so between 60-65. Just because I think that the health of the network is pretty impressive in this moment. There is great interest on the bank, brand awareness, and so forth. So I would say 60-65 would be a great target, with an increasing contribution also from recruitment, as we said. Banking license, you are right. We set as a deadline, let's say the end of March, to inform of our strategic choices. So I confirm that we are really interested in having a banking license in Switzerland. We have two options, greenfield, so changing the license of BG Valeur. Let's say that to set up a new banking license in Switzerland, it takes from 6 to 9 months, or an acquisition. But you know, the first rule of acquisition, the first two rules is first, no reputational risk, and second, must be accretive for the shareholders. So we are keeping the two options, and we will decide, I think, in the next 2-3 months. And the Luxembourg Protection Life. So it's, let's say that the product is a private insurance. The main differences with the existing offering, so for example, Lombard, is that is a greater flexibility. You can mix traditional life insurance, for example, French products with, let's say, the financial markets, financial investments. You can mix liquid as well, illiquid assets, and you have also some insurance riders. So it's a very well organized product. It's a real wrapper, and we can provide both deposit and portfolio management from Italy as well as from Switzerland. Margins are almost in line with our BG Stile Libero. Consider that the clients of these kind of products are normally private or ultra net worth. So if you offer insurance wrappers to clients with €20 million, of course, the margins are a little bit lower than the average of our clients. But it's almost in line with the condition we apply in Italy. So let's say that, in my opinion, there is a great momentum with initiatives, and you have no alternative to Lombard. So could be a success.
Thank you.
The next question is from Federico Braga with UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello, good afternoon, everyone. A few questions from my side, please. The first one is on the fee margins. I mean, on a blended basis, on a pro forma basis, including also the acquisition, am I right to say that the gross management fee margin is around 137, 138 basis points? And if you can confirm this, and what you would be your guidance on a pro forma basis for 2020, and what would be the impact also from flows coming from Switzerland on the pro forma fee margins, in your opinion? And more in the longer term, given where rates, bond yields are now, would you expect, what's the impact that you would expect on fee margins, especially for insurance wrappers and insurance products? The second question is on the recruitment activity for 2020. If you can please give us some guidance on what we would expect to be the cost of growth for 2020, given that you expect some pickup in the recruitment. So if you expect it a little bit up from 11% of 2019, and if yes, to what extent? The last question is on the real asset initiatives, just to have an idea of what are the incentives for your financial advisors on these products, if you plan to pay the same percentage in terms of distribution fee as a percentage of the recurring fees, of the management fees, or you expect to pay higher payout on these products, and more in the longer term, what do you think is the incentive of your financial advisors to push significantly, so to push on these products, given the fact that they cannot move these assets away in a scenario where they should decide to leave Banca Generali in the future? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Federico. I start answering the question, then I hand over to Tommaso. First of all, on pro forma basis, I would say that the dilutive effect of Nextam and Valeur should be around 1 basis point, I would say, one, maximum 2 basis points. So if we say 140, 141 for the ordinary business, it could be slightly lower, 140. And Switzerland shouldn't be so dilutive. It depends on the target of the client, but let's say that at least for the first leg, the profitability should be almost in line with the Italian one. Cost of growth probably a little bit higher than 11%, but lower than the average of the last 3 years. And fourth, real asset activity. As I said, first of all, the margins of this product for us is in line with the existing offering. We do not incentivate the financial advisors on these initiatives because mis-selling would be a nightmare, and I'm really worried about same initiatives of some competitors. You have to manage it with care, this kind of solution. It's value if you sell properly. And let's say that it's true that it could be a way to retain clients, but as I said, that max exposure would be around 10%, and consider that we have like traditional life insurance policies that are in some cases 25-30%. And probably in terms of retention, is much stronger the effect of the traditional life insurance than real assets. Real assets work if clients understand very well the liquidity risk that in our minds has a positive payoff, in particular now, so it's a place to invest, first of all for professional, second for private clients. And this explains why we extend this service only upper affluent private clients. I don't know if Tommaso wants to add something.
Let's say that coming back on the acquisition of Valerio Nextam, the impact on the full year is 1 basis point in terms of dilution of the margin, so it should be around 1.59. And let's say that to evaluate this, we have to compare the profitability of those assets to the price of the acquisition, which has been in line with the profitability of those assets. And looking forward, we have to integrate, of course, the clients and the offer that today we provide to those clients with the one of the Banca Generali. So, for example, for Nextam, today we don't have any insurance penetration, we don't have banking solution, and so to evaluate the evolution of Nextam, we have to think also that we will have an activity of cross-sell and upsell of the offer.
And on the, sorry, on the ordinary payout ratio for a liquid solution is in line with the ratio of the managed solution.
Thank you,
Federico.
The next question is from Filippo Prini with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, if I may. The first one is on your guidance of NII over single-digit growth. Could you tell us how much should come from an increase of the lending to client? And second is on your capital ratio. Now you are at 14.6 in terms of CET1 ratio. Should we expect this ratio to going closer to the 16.5%, 17 of the past years? Thank you.
Thank you, Filippo. So in terms of net interest income, I do not expect a significant contribution from lending for this year. I expect that we start with the commercial activity. The full effect will be next year. So great part of the increase will be driven by the banking book, still driven by banking book. So they say that you will see some contribution of the lending activity in the second half, and most important next year. And the second question was about capital ratio. Let's say that we are confident to see higher capital ratio during the year, not necessarily at the historical level, because for optimizing the banking book and to diversify, some capital will be absorbed in the banking book.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Angeliki Bairaktari with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my questions. Three questions on my side, please. First of all, what is the minimum CET1 threshold level for management, and how low can the CET1 ratio be from the current level, considering, you know, your future distribution plans as well as M&A? Related to that, does the higher distribution this year indicate a lower appetite for bolt-on M&A deals going forward, also considering the two acquisitions that you completed in 2019? And last question, could you please update us on your relationship with Generali and whether you consider your parent would have any interest in reducing its stake in case of a more transformational M&A deal? Thank you very much.
Thank you for the question. First of all, we set at managerial level a sort of floor at around 13% for CET1, that is well above the Bank of Italy requirement. And they said that the appetite for acquisition is always the same. What I'm seeing is that, in my opinion, the prices, especially in Italy, are still too high, and we don't need any acquisition to confirm our targets. So if we see any opportunities, we will take an advantage for our shareholders. But we are not in a hurry. So as usual, it's more an opportunity than a threat, the acquisition. And I'm confident to deliver results with or without acquisition. But now, in this moment, I don't see the targets in Italy. They say that when you see recovery in the markets, all the players think to be much better than a few months before. So we need to see some certainty in the market to see again some opportunities. Generally, I'm sorry, but I think you should ask this question to them. I can say that I'm very happy with Generali. We can offer their solution, and I think that is a great value today in these markets, having Generali as a first shareholder. And we help them on some initiatives. So there is a great satisfaction from both sides. And I don't know anything about any reduction of the stake at this moment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mossa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So thank you very much for attending our conference call. And if you have any other question, please let us know. And till the next time, bye. Thank you. Thank you very much.